Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solak. We are kicking off our guest mock draft series here on the podcast. We had Joe Goodberry to pick for the Cincinnati Bengals, number one overall in the last podcast, and now number two. Important position, not just for the team that's picking there, but maybe even for other teams, perhaps looking to move up. They're looking to move down. We're talking about the Washington Redskins. And with us right now on the podcast, we have Mark Bullock from The Athletic DC. We are very honored to have him as the guest. Tell us about Washington and then make a pick at number two. Mark, thank you so much for joining us, man. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Should be fun.
Yeah, so Washington, as I was kind of saying there, a lot of changes, right? I mean, they were the first team to make a change at head coach in 2019. Didn't have Jay Gruden around for too long during that season. But, you know, kind of just take us back to even the summertime before, what the expectations were for the Washington Redskins, and then really how it all went down so fast to where you're the first team to fire the head coach, and then we'll get into a little bit what it was like after that. But what were kind of the expectations going on into the season for Washington?
Yeah, so they kind of botched it from the start of last season, really. From January, when they decided that they were going to go into another year with the combination of Bruce Allen and Jay Gruden, they kind of set themselves up with, well, we have to win this year because it was going into year six of Jay Gruden and year 10 of Bruce Allen. And it was, you know, they have to win. Otherwise, there's only so long you can go with the same guys. And so they set themselves up with, right, we're in a win now mode. We need to win and get to the playoffs this year to keep our jobs. And then Dan Snyder seemingly intervened and went, well, there's a quarterback
as 15 as he usually does, it feels, right?
Yeah, exactly. As he has done in the past. And you know, he's gone, well, I want this quarterback, local kid, went to the same high school as my son. So he went and drafted Dwayne Haskins and put him on a coaching staff that didn't necessarily want him. And I don't hold that against Jay Gruden per se, because, you know, like, the coach kind of wants to, he knows his situation is he wants to win now or needs to win now, otherwise he's going to get fired. And a rookie quarterback isn't usually or typically the way to win that season. So usually when you do that, you're saying, right, we're developing to the future. So when Snyder forced that marriage, it kind of was all downhill from there. And Gruden supposedly never really gave Haskins a fair shot in training camp and was focused on going with Case Keenum or Colt McCoy. Ended up going with Case Keenum and then lost the first five games, although they had some competitive games in that. I'm sure Ben will remember the week one game against the Eagles where they went up and
have blocked it out of my memory. Don't know what you're talking about.
So and they looked pretty good. Terry McLaurin looked very exciting at that point, and they looked like they could have won that one or won a couple of those first few games, but ended up going 0-5 and then Gruden got fired and Bill Callahan took over, and he wasn't really the right match for Dwayne Haskins either, because he was very much a, we're going to run the ball. He's a very old style head coach in that he wants to run the ball, and he said it was about rushing attempts and completion percentage rather than, you know, anything else, which I think the analytics community will say otherwise. I don't want to start our argument. So if Callahan took over, he didn't really have much more success. He got a win against the Dolphins, barely. And it went poorly. Dwayne Haskins managed to start down the road and showed some progress towards the end of the year. And then they cleaned house, and we're at where we're at now, where they hired Ron Rivera. They're going to go with Kyle Smith as their kind of GM. He's not technically their GM. He's kind of on a trial run right now. But the thought is, if the draft goes well, and he's kind of got a trial period with Ron Rivera now, and if the draft goes well, he'll probably be made the full GM or elevated to that kind of role anyway.
I always think it's hilarious how some of these teams have these almost like interim GM positions, and they just go,
Yeah, we'll use the draft as your trial period, as if the draft isn't, like, vitally important to the next phases of the organization. Like, oh, yeah, if you screw it up, it's no big deal. It was just a test. I don't know. I just find that it's a funny way to look at it.
It does seem like an odd one, but I think the feeling behind it is that there has been some good talent in the front office side of the building underneath Bruce Allen, and they just haven't been allowed to show their talent because of Bruce Allen. So they like what Carl Smith has done. He's run a couple of the drafts recently, and they've had some pretty decent success over the last few years while he's been running them. And so he's now going to get a bigger say. And with Rivera, his contract, you know, he's got long-term security. So I think he's probably agreed to say, we'll see how this draft goes, and, you know, if it goes terribly and we fire you, then I don't have to win this year anyway. I've got a long time.
That makes sense. And that's good with the background, too.
Yeah, exactly. And if it works, then, hey, they've got a partnership for the long term, and they've got a step up on year one. So
yeah, it's funny when you look back at the Redskins over the last decade, because they had good front office talent and they also had good coaching staff talent. They had, you know, McVay and everybody in the building. You kind of would have expected the team to maybe be better
with a little bit
more success.
It's so frustrating to have seen that all those guys come through the building and go. It's incredibly frustrating.
And I'm always wondering what could have been. I got to ask you about this. I'm not sure how serious it is, but I want to get your feel on it, because I don't have a thumb on the pulse of the Redskins as well as obviously you do. Bucky Brooks today, writing a column for NFL.com, mostly about the draft, also puts in the bottom there, don't be surprised if Kyle Allen runs out of the tunnel as the Washington Redskins quarterback one when the team takes the field this fall. He talks about the success that Allen had last season with Carolina. He talks about some of the concerns that he's hearing out of the building with Haskins in terms of, you know, the preparation and getting to know the playbook and how ready he is to start. I know that it's been billed as a starter competition between Allen and Haskins. So is that what you really expect? Is that just lip service? Do you want to put percent chances, a bet on who's going to be who, when and where? Like, how legit is this that really Haskins could be supplanted by Allen?
I think it's mainly legit because of the situation with the coronavirus more than anything else. If there is some sort of shortened off season, like, it doesn't look like there's going to be any OTAs or anything like that. We don't know how it's going to impact training camp or things like that. And if all of that is wiped out and you're going into the season on like a 2-week training camp or whatever the situation could be, then there's only going to be so much of the offense that Dwayne Haskins is going to be able to learn. Whereas Kyle Allen knows the offense from being under Scott Turner and North Turner the last 2 years and being with Ron Rivera for the last 2 years and knowing what's expected from both of those guys. So in that regard, Kyle Allen's going to be further ahead than Dwayne Haskins just because he has been in the system. And you hear the reports of last year that Haskins struggle to learn the system, which I'm not too sure there's about how accurate that is. I think a lot of that was the coaching staff was focused on winning now rather than developing a quarterback. So they focused on, you know, trying to get Case Keenum ready rather than developing Dwayne Haskins. And I think if they have a full off season of work, then Haskins should be out. Allen as he has the talent, and I think the idea is that you bring in Allen to be the backup, but I think the virus situation kind of puts things up in the air a little bit in that Kyle Allen could start week one or week two or maybe the first half of the year while Dwayne Haskins gets up to speed. But I suspect Haskins takes over at some point. And a little part of me, when I watched a bit of Kyle Allen, was thinking there is some Kirk Cousins situation in it, in that the coaching staff is, you know, they've been brought in to fix a quarterback that Snyder forced on the previous regime, and they've got their own guy that they'd rather have as the backup. And, you know, that's exactly what happened with Kirk Cousins taking over from RG3. And a part of me thought about that. I don't know if that's actually going to happen. I think this coaching staff's going to give Haskins a shot once, you know, he actually has a fair chance to learn the playbook. So I don't think Kyle Allen will be the starter long term. I think Haskins should take the job, but I think there is a scenario where Allen starts the season, and potentially down the line, if Haskins fails, then he could take over.
I wanted to ask you before we got into some draft scenarios, because there's a lot with Washington, so I want to dive into that for sure. But the Trent Williams situation has been really interesting, and a lot of people kind of just chalk it up to, you know, Snyder's been a little off the wall, so people can sometimes just chalk it up to, oh, you know, Washington, they just don't know what they're doing and everything. But you've kind of covered a lot of the details of it, and you know a lot about both sides of where these guys are coming from. Where's the validity in all this with maybe how Washington handled Williams' situation and how stubborn he might be towards playing towards Washington or wanting his release or things like that? Where is kind of the truth in the matter of both sides that we've been hearing from different mainstream media?
Yeah, so the Redskins completely botched it last year. Bruce Allen completely... totally botched it. They had a chance to trade him before the start of last year when he didn't want to be there, and even during the season. I'm not sure exactly how true it is when the Browns said that they offered a first round pick. I'm not sure exactly how true that is, but they probably could have got at least a second round or possibly a late first from someone for him last year. Now with Bruce Allen out the building and all of that, they Dan Snyder and Ron Rivera made a point to fire the head of the training staff that had been there for years that Trent Williams didn't like. They obviously fired Bruce Allen, who Trent Williams didn't like. And Trent Williams has always said he likes Dan Snyder and respects Dan Snyder. So there was some hope that they could repair the relationship and bring him back. Now, Ron Rivera has made it clear that he wants everyone to prove themselves, even someone like Trent Williams. So he wants to get guys in the building, prove themselves, and then he'll handle contract extensions. But Trent Williams doesn't want to play on his current deal, which basically guarantees him nothing and pays him well under the top of the offensive tackle market. So he still wants a new deal. The Redskins aren't going to give him one. So we're at where we're at now, where he's looking for a trade.
Do you think he gets traded? What do you think's more likely? Do you think they'll get at least something for him, or do you think it's just going to be like a straight release kind of a thing?
I think they'll get something for him. I think the issue right now is that it's kind of a triangle where the Redskins have a price and the Trent Williams camp have a price on a new contract that they're going to want from any team. And it's finding a third part of that triangle, a team that's willing to meet both the Trent Williams price and the Redskins price.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's plenty of teams that have said, yeah, we'll do the contract with you, Trent, but we don't want to meet the Redskins price. And there's plenty of teams that said, yeah, we'll meet the price with the Redskins, but we don't want to meet Trent Williams' contract. So it's finding that thing. It seems like the Redskins are looking for a second round pick, but are willing to be flexible on that and kind of get that value in other ways, and maybe it's like a third round pick and a player, or a fourth round pick and a better player. But they seem to want that second round value, and Trent Williams seems to want the kind of top of the tackle market. So it would be a pretty big outlay by whatever team ends up going for him. But I have to think, you know, it's Trent Williams. He's still probably one of the top three left tackles in football. There's going to be a team that wants him, and someone's going to eventually do a deal.
All right, so I look now at this roster with a new coaching staff in place, with Ron Rivera married to Jack Del Rio on the defensive side of the football, like you said, with the North Turner system on the offensive side of the football. With the success that Rivera had in Carolina, especially when you look at defensively what they were doing in terms of, you know, the heavy amount of strength on the interior defensive line and having elite linebackers. You have cover three style corners. Obviously, Josh Norman's out of the building, despite the fact that Ron Rivera is in the building, and that kind of tells you where Norman's ended up in his career. What do you look at defensively, and you say because of the way that they're going to try to run defense between Rivera and Del Rio, where do you expect them to make changes? Where do you expect them to pour some resources? And are there even some players that right now are on the defensive side of the football, not dissimilar to a player like Quentin Dunbar, who may have had some talent, may have had some flashes, but just isn't going to fit with what the new defensive coaching staff wants?
Yeah, I think they started to have the clean out the past few weeks, and they got rid of guys like Dunbar. They've said, like, we're not handling that situation anymore. We're sick of the trades request and all the social media outrage and all that kind of thing. So even though he was probably their best corner and had plenty of talent, they decided to ship him off. Monte Nicholson at free safety, they got rid of. So that secondary is going to need a pretty big overhaul. And they did bring in Kendall Fuller to reinforce. They brought him back after trading him to the Chargers for the Alex Smith trade a few years ago. And that should reinforce the slot, and he might play a little bit outside. Then they signed Sean Davis from Pittsburgh to replace Nicholson at free safety.
Yeah.
So the secondary has needed an overhaul. I think the Rivera and Del Rio will be pretty happy with the defensive line, assuming they go with a certain pick at two, but we'll get to that. They Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, Matt Ioannidis are pretty strong interior three. And then you've got guys like Tim Settle. They've just re-signed Caleb Brantley as rotational guys inside as well. Ryan Kerrigan and Montez Sweat, last year's first round pick on the edge. I think they'll be pretty happy with their defensive line rotation. Linebacker, it's a little bit iffy. They've got some younger guys with some potential in Sean Dion Hamilton and Cole Holcomb, but they're not really sure what they've got there. Obviously, there's the Reuben Foster situation where we don't really know how that's going to play out. Potentially, he's one guy that Rivera could go, we've not liked the issues you've had in the past, and release him. Potentially, they could say he could be a starter for them, and they like the upside of his talent. Or, you know, that he had this injury for a long time, and there was reports in January that he'd only just started gaining feeling back in his toes. So they can't really rely on him right now. So I think he's more of a luxury than anything else. So the linebacker spot is kind of all over the place. They've got some talented guys, and they've added a few guys there, but it's kind of not sure. It's not set in stone for sure.
You hinted at what we think might be the pick, and we'll get to you making a selection for Washington in a second here, but I wanted to talk about the potential of Washington's pick at number two being open for business, if you will, because after number two, they don't pick until the top of the third round. Certainly, you mentioned there, if a Trent Williams trade goes down and they pick up some sort of a day two pick, that would, you know, curb that a little bit more, but What's the chance that Washington could be open, even with a player like Chase Young that's going to be on the board for them to select, maybe moving back from two, not too far, you know, maybe with Miami or with the Chargers, who might be jumping up to try to get the second quarterback in this draft? You know, how open are they, I guess, is my question, knowing that they're, you know, not really a great team right now. They have some holes on the roster to fill, and they could use some extra draft picks that they could get for putting that number two pick for sale.
Yeah, I think they would be open to it, but I think the asking price is going to be a lot. I think it would be, you're talking about multiple first round picks, and
okay,
probably
so quarterback probably, price, you know.
Yeah, you're definitely talking quarterback price, and you're probably looking at the RG3 trade as kind of your baseline for what they'd want, I would imagine. I don't have inside info on that, but I would imagine that they would be looking at that kind of trade value to trade back. So I think they'd be open to it for the right deal, but I'm not sure if that right deal is going to come to them when the Lions are supposedly willing to move out of three, and there's a chance that both the quarterbacks could fall to five and six anyway. So I think they'd be willing to. I'm not sure that they will get the offer that they deem acceptable to move off of a guy like Chase Young. But they could definitely use with the extra picks from trading back and acquiring more talent. But I think a point I made earlier that Rivera's got long-term job security. I think he'd rather take the best talent and a guy that he's drafted similar people before and built a defense around and kind of knows that model for building a team, and knowing that for the long term that player is going to have a bigger impact on more plays than any other guys that they're going to get from this trade, then I think they will probably just stamp out and take it.
Okay. Well, so then, assuming we're staying pat and we're taking it, Mark, I'd like to hear the player that you're going to pick at number two for the Redskins, obviously with Joe Burrow already off the board at number one to the Bengals. Hear a little bit about why you're making that pick. And then depending on who it is, we'll probably have to ask about some of the other options on the table. But for right now, who are you taking it to and why?
I'm going to take the obvious one. I'm going to take Chase Young as my new defensive end out of Ohio State and be very, very happy with the extreme talent that he has. You know, he has a unique blend of the size, the athleticism, as well as really quite refined technique. His hand fighting and the different techniques that they teach at Ohio State, he does them all to a very high level. And there's certainly things he can improve on. He's not a finished article, but he's as impactful a player on a down-to-down basis as I've seen coming out in quite some time. So I think they'd be extremely happy with him, plug him alongside Montez Sweat, and have Ryan Kerrigan in the rotation. And you've got a pretty strong defensive line when you include the likes of Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, and Matt Ioannidis on the inside.
Thank the Lord for the loss of that Giants game, right? I mean, that was the one that kind of sealed yes. it, that got the Chase Young pick. Sorry, Ben. Had to throw that in there, that was the defining moment of the season.
For sure, yeah. For sure.
It was critical. What I want to ask, I tweeted this out yesterday. I want you to tell me if I'm crazy. But when I look at having Ryan Kerrigan and having Montez Sweat versus having Kyle Fuller and Fabian Moreau, and for me, I have Chase Young is an elite talent, and I also have Jeffrey Okuda as an elite talent. Is there a moment where you stop and think about taking Okuda at two over Young outright?
Personally, no.
Okay.
From what I've watched of Okuda, I've done a similar amount of games on Okuda because I had the Chase Young film. So I really like Okuda myself, and I think he has a ton of upside, and he can be he could become one of the best corners in the NFL. I think what it boils down to for me is that Young impacts more plays because of his position. He can impact more running plays. He can impact more passing plays. He forces an offense to completely change their protection towards him. And everyone points to, like, oh, he did nothing in the Clemson game. He got no sacks in the Clemson game. But you watch that game, it only takes 2 minutes to realize, you know, Clemson are sending two or three guys his way.
Right.
They're sliding the line.
Same
that way.
With Wisconsin.
Exactly. You get the protections all set to him, and it opens up one-on-one matchups for everyone else. And if you send a slot corner off the other side of the line, like, they're going to come completely free 9 times out of 10 because the protection's so focused on Young. I think that allows the defense to do so much more than not what a shutdown corner would do, but I don't necessarily think Okuda's going to come in and become a shutdown corner year one. I think he'll be very good, and I think down the line he'll develop into that. But I think Chase Young can come in year one, day one, and force offensive lines to change their protection, focus on him, and that opens things up for everyone else. It has the similar impact to, you see, the 49ers model last year. They brought in Nick Bosa, and suddenly the rest of their first round picks on that defensive line just started playing that much better, and that defense suddenly became one of the better ones in the league. So I think the Redskins would look to have the same kind of path as what the 49ers did last year.
Right. Can never have too many good pass rushers, right?
Exactly.
I think so. Yeah, the Chase Young pick, it was probably an obvious one, but Mark, we really appreciate you coming on the podcast and being the one to make it. We appreciate you getting us caught up on everything that happened behind the scenes this season, as well as the Trent Williams stuff. Your insight was awesome. Thanks so much for coming on, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me. It's good fun.
There we go. Two picks up, two picks down. Tomorrow, we head to number three, the Detroit Lions. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.